The Healthy Alabama podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a program that enrolls Alabamians in the health insurance marketplace.
Enroll Alabama is a project of AIDS Alabama. For more information, visit the website AIDSAlabama.org. Welcome to another episode of the Healthy Alabama podcast, sponsored by Enroll Alabama. And I have on the phone with me someone who calls himself, I think I've got this right, Kev, the Vegan Warrior. Dr. Kevin
vegan
Jenkins.
Born.
I'm sorry, the Vegan Born. That's what it is. That's even better. That's even better. The Vegan Born, Dr. Kevin Jenkins. He is a pastor. He pastors a church up in New Jersey and is a devout vegan and a martial artist. And I think you also do some security consulting, don't you?
Yes. EP work, executive protection.
Yeah.
Celebrity protection.
I just think the confluence of all of those things is fascinating, man. And especially since I know that right at the center of all of it for you is your decision to practice veganism in a way that I think goes above and beyond what I think most of us who call ourselves vegans do. I'm a dietary vegan, but I think you're a vegan in every aspect of your life, right?
Yeah, I'm what they call an ethical vegan, which means basically that you also progress beyond the diet into what you wear. You know, I'm not strict about that, you know, and I don't get on anybody. I'm not a vegan police type individual because everybody has to grow on that. But, right. You know, it's just interesting that veganism is a form of protest, if you think about it, against the health care system that is really into sick care more than health care, and also against the factory farming where animals are just being killed. And I forgot the statistics. I won't even begin to quote. On a day-to-day basis where they're being killed, 9 for food, but they're getting killed for and slaughtered for clothing, which is unnecessary.
Right.
On both accounts.
That's why I wanted to have you on, because I know this is central to your life. So let's just start at the top. Okay. So I said that you were a pastor. Tell folks what church you pastor.
Yeah, I'm the pastor of the Genesis Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plainfield, New Jersey. That's part of the Allegheny East Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. I've been there. I think they just told me I've been there 4 years. This is like a relatively new time for me.
You describe yourself as the vegan born. Meaning, and that's a reference, that's a coy reference to the Jason Bourne, the literary and film character that has been so popularized, and Matt Damon played Jason Bourne probably most successfully. Why do you call yourself the Vegan Bourne?
Well, Dave, you hit it, man. It's a reference to the Jason Bourne movies. I'm also in the protection industry, and I've been in that for like about 12 years.
You're a martial artist, and your special field is it Krav Maga?
Krav Maga. Make that clear. Yeah, Krav Maga is not a martial art. It's a self-defense system. Now, what's the difference? Well, we don't do katas. You know what I mean? Martial art, get into the katas. We are a self-defense system where we actually deal with the actual attack.
Okay, now when you say kata, you mean the various artistic sort of forms that the various arts employ, these forms or movements. That's what you're talking about, right?
That's right. We don't do those things.
Okay.
We respond to a stick attack, knife attack, gun, choke, bear hug, ground fighting in case you happen to fall on the ground. You can fight for the ground. It's grown in such popularity that the military branches teach it. Secret Service teaches it. Law enforcement teaches it. You know, so it's a self-defense system, a close quarter combat. That's what we call that.
Okay. And I'm assuming, just based on what I've seen in some of these movies, that we're starting to see more of that close quarter combat thing sort of displayed through Hollywood.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I would add, though, Dave, because Hollywood is a lot of showmanship and stuff. So in Krav Maga, our aim is not to allow the fight to last that long.
Okay.
Our aim is to put as much pain on the individual to either get away or disarm this individual, because we say if the fight lasts long, we may have some problems.
Okay. You're a self-defense specialist. I'll just refer to you as that. Do you carry a weapon when you provide these services, like a gun?
That's a great point. Great point. No, I do not carry a weapon. Yeah, based on the state, take, for example, New York State. New York State does not have concealed carry. unless you're law enforcement.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't do any situations where we have to carry an arm. Now, what we do, and we're trained the Secret Service method. Secret Service very rarely has any problems.
Mm-hmm.
I think they might have had, and I forgot the history where the presidential detail was. I think it was under Harry Truman, I think, where he actually signed that presidential detail. The rest were like, as Lincoln was guarded by a guy, I think he was like a police officer or something. He was not related to Secret Service. And when Lincoln did develop a Secret Service, it was deal with trying to get rid of the counterfeit treasury as a result of the Civil War. So they were not dealing with presidential detail. And if you know the story about Lincoln's bodyguard, he took a 15-minute break, went down to a tavern, had something to drink, and John Wilkes Booth shot him. So what we do is what is called risk mitigation, and we do what is called advances. So advances, okay, what's president's schedule? What's the client's schedule? Where is the client going to be? Let's go through the area. Let's find out the exits. Let's find out what's going on prior to that. And what happens, again, that concept of called left to bang, which the Marines use, which is the name of a book, we get ahead of the crisis before it happens,
mm-hmm.
so we can be able to deal just in case. Because, as they say in this business, maybe 99% of it is boredom, but we train for the 1% if something does happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, walls and halls, you're just standing, but you get ahead of the crisis before it goes down.
So what you're describing to me is interesting when I juxtapose your life as a securities expert, a self-defense specialist, and a vegan. I mean, that just, it almost doesn't seem, I mean, I don't, I mean, does that make sense, or am I just stereotyping here?
I think it's the borderline. It makes sense, but then there's a stereotype, because the stereotype is the hippie, the vegan is the hippie, you know, that goes around flower power and all that stuff, and very looking scrawny. It's almost like the concept of Jesus when you look at the artwork. Now, Jesus, you know, was a carpenter, which means that he actually was a stonemason, because there was very little trees in his day that he had to cut wood and all that business. So when you're handling stone and you're handling brick, and you didn't have what they have, the modern thing, they call it the caterpillar, where the thing picks up the rocks,
mm-hmm.
and you're loading it on wagons, you're going to have some muscle mass. And so it's the same type of stereotype. We see Jesus, he never smiles, he looks skinny, looks all emaciated. But Jesus was very fit, strong. The beating that he took prior to going to Calvary would have killed the average person. So he had, now he was mentally tough, but he was also physically strong. And I'm not saying he looked like the Rock, but I'm saying that he was physically fit. And the men that surrounded him also were kind of warriors and gangsters, and so they would not be surrounded by a guy that looks like Mr. Rogers. So it's the same thing with the vegan situation, where we have these various stereotypes. But if you look on Instagram, particularly like a guy named Tori Washington, Conscious Muscle, and all these guys are actually, Nehemiah Delgado, they're actually building some serious mass by eating plants, and they're defying the stereotype of what it means to be vegan.
So explain that from your understanding as somebody who is completely immersed in veganism and who also understands fitness and what it takes because of your work in self-defense and securities. How are they able to do that? How are they able to build muscle mass in that way?
Oh, that's a great question, Dave. Excellent question, because your question resonates with a lot of men, particularly black men, if you want to just break it down in a narrow frame, why they don't want to eat to be vegan, because they feel it doesn't build muscle mass. But here's the situation on muscle mass. The largest animals on the planet, gorilla, the giraffe, the rhino, they are plant eaters. They don't eat any meat whatsoever. And they have no problem packing on mass. Now, here's the thing with mass. Mass is just stressing your muscles. Just whether it's by weight or calisthenics, which we would call body weight exercises like push-ups, all that, it's just stressing your muscles and just eating a lot of healthy carbs, sweet potatoes, brown rice, you know, that type of thing, or just packing calories on there. That's what stresses your muscles. So when you talk about eating meat, you know, it's always a stereotype. Well, I got to eat, where's my protein? Where you get your protein? That's what people always ask me. And I said, the issue is not the protein issue in America. The issue in America is, where are you getting your fiber? let me tell you something. Mm. I had a men's meeting where I was talking with, and this is in a community center, and mm-hmm. we talked with these circled men. And I was talking about the issue of, you know, going plant-based. And one guy in the circle confided that he hadn't had a bowel movement within a week. He has a bowel movement at least once a week. And I said, brother, you're in trouble. You need to start increasing your fiber intake and your water intake before you end up getting colon cancer.
Right.
Because
right.
you should be able to have a bowel movement after if you're getting enough fiber
mm-hmm.
early in the morning when you get up. If you're eating enough fiber, you should be going to bathroom, and I'm talking about, you know, the number two, the poop.
Right.
You should be going to bathroom at least two times in the morning before you get out to do something.
Wow.
At least.
Okay.
That's when you got fiber and you're drinking a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
Your body, and see what happens with the meat eater is that our digestive system is not made to eat meat. And naturally, our teeth are not made to eat meat, because remember, the lion and tigers who eat meat. See, what's the difference between them and us? The difference is this, and I tell this funny story. The tigers, they get together on the 4th of July, and they say, okay, we're going to get the gazelle and all that business, and they capture the gazelle. You see it on National Geographic, and it's just a horrible thing, but, you know, that's the law of the jungle.
Right.
And before they eat that gazelle, they say, hey, brothers, listen, let's invite the neighbors. I'm talking about the lions now. Let's invite the neighbors and let's have a barbecue. Right? Lions don't say that. No, we don't need, no, before we eat this, we got to barbecue it. We got to bake it. We got to broil it. We got to fry it. And then we got to put some season on that bad boy.
Right.
No, they don't do that because they're natural meat eaters.
Right.
But what we do as human, you know what we're doing when we eat meat? Is that we're eating the seasonings. That's what makes the meat taste good. You cannot go, you go in your local supermarket, whatever your supermarket is,
mm-hmm.
and somebody goes by the meat section, and they, all of a sudden they take that meat, open up that package, and start eating it raw. What do you think is going to happen with that person?
They're going to get sick and die.
They're going to call the cops.
Well, that, yeah. And then they're going to die, get sick and die after they call the cops.
Yeah, they're going to get sick and die. But somebody goes, this man is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's nuts.
This is an interesting point you're making, though, that meat in and of itself, it gives us, well, I shouldn't say us because I don't eat meat anymore. I haven't eaten it in years. But it gives meat eaters, I guess, a certain sensation, pleasant sensation due perhaps to the texture. But when it comes to the actual flavor, you're saying that the flavor mostly comes from the seasoning as opposed to the flesh itself.
Absolutely, because folks cannot eat flesh without it being doctored up. They can't do it.
That's interesting.
They got to put those spices on there.
I'd never thought about it that way, Kev. Now, again, I'm reflecting back over the years, and I seem to recall that chicken tasted different than beef, which tasted different mm-hmm. than lamb or goat. And those are the meats that I ate when I used to eat meat.
Yes,
they seem to taste different.
Well, yeah, of course they do, because let me tell you, before I became sounds vegetarian first, and then I moved to veganism.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when I made the decision to become a vegetarian, which is at age 19, and this is before I was connected to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. My mother, I was still at home, my mother from the South went to Salem, North Carolina, and she was cooking chicken. And I said, Mom, I got a big announcement. I ain't eating meat no more. She ain't said nothing. But you remember back in the day, man, they would have that chicken in that brown paper bag with those spices and shake that stuff up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And put it in that greasy pan and fry mm-hmm. that bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
And you smell the aroma filled the kitchen like incense.
Mm-hmm.
And man, shucks. You know, I eat that chicken that night. I said, well, I'm going to put this thing off.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow. You know what you're doing. You know, okay, son. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So let me circle back now. Again, one of the things that I found intriguing about you was this juxtaposition of I'm a vegan, but I'm also a Jason Bourne, at least when it comes to, you know, your work in the securities business and so forth, and as a self-defense specialist. What is the reaction of people as you move about in your community and you move about in your second career? You know, your first career as a pastor, but your second career as a security specialist. What is the reaction of people to the branding of yourself as the vegan born?
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, it's basically very positive. You know, no one being negative about that. You know, because what you brand yourself, your vision, and, you know, like death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so whatever you speak to yourself, it goes into your brain. So mostly they'd be asking me more about the veganism more than the Bourneism. You know, that's what they're focusing more on that. You know, mm-hmm. what I mean? Yeah, it's mostly positive because you got these guys that name themselves at different things, you know, on Instagram, got different names and all that business. It's almost like the rapper, you know what I mean? You got Lil Wayne. I don't know his real name, you know what I mean? But he used to have those AKA thing, like Clark Kent is Superman, you know, Peter Parker is Spider-Man. I forgot, what's the Black Panther's name? I forgot his
T'Challa, his name. T'Challa, and I can't
T'Challa,
remember.
T'Challa, yeah. Yeah, T'Challa is the Black Panther, you know, so it's mostly positive. There's nothing negative about that, but they're more focused on the first part than they are the last part.
Let me delve a little bit into the last part for a second, because you implied in the second part is you treat your body as a temple and you really are focused on being physically fit. What's your regimen like? What do you do in order to stay fit?
Dave, I appreciate the questions, man. I appreciate that. I'm going to tell you my routine today, and it has nothing to do with the podcast. It was just the routine I do today.
Okay.
Now, I belong to a Facebook group. It's a closed Facebook group. You have to pay to get in there. That's run by a former Navy SEAL, Ray Kerr, and Dr. Brett Osborne. He's a doctor, and he has written this book called Get Serious. None of those guys are vegan, by the way. But it is a group that motivates you. It's called Forever Reaching Our Goals. That's what FROG stands for. And we have these challenges run by either the men or Ray Kerr's wife, Trisha Kerr. And this challenge, you know, we have a challenge like once a month we got to do something. So this challenge is doing 50 burpees a day. 50 burpees a day.
Okay, now tell folks what a burpee is, just for those who don't know.
I think back in the day, for those, especially who are older listeners, there used to be something called a squat thrust, where you actually get down into a squat, then break out into a push-up, get back into a squat, and jump up again. But it's a full body workout. And like someone said, burpees are from hell. And you're absolutely right. It works on your cardio. It works on your legs, every aspect of your body, push-up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we can also surpass it. So a couple of times I've did like 100 burpees, but today I did 50 burpees. And then what I did in my area, there's a soccer field. So I decided I was going to do some push-ups. So I decided I'm going to like every five paces, I'm going to do 45 push-ups. I do 15 wide, 15 regular, and 15 close push-ups. So I went around the circle of the soccer field and end up doing 50 reps of 15, which landed me to be about 750 push-ups.
Wow.
And then I thought about it after I calculated it. I said, wait a minute. I did 50 burpees, which included 50 push-ups. So today I did 800 push-ups. Now that's not a norm for me. You know what I mean?
Man.
That's not a norm. Anybody get the impression I'm doing 800 push-ups a day?
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I decided, let me challenge myself and push myself beyond my limits, so to speak. There's a guy, I forgot, he played for the Detroit Lions, Dana Sanders, S-A-N-D-E-R. He has a YouTube video called Doing Push-Ups for Mass. And he actually got me started. I saw that yesterday or the day before, where he said he did 100 push-ups 1 month, next month 200, next month 300. I mean, he kept stepping up the game. And there was one video I saw. He said, do 15 wide, 15 regular, 15 close. I said, that's not a bad idea, you know, because I follow some of these guys on Facebook. I said, that's right. Not a bad idea. So, yeah, because it covers every aspect of your body, you mm-hmm. know. So, and then, like, yesterday, what I did the burpees, and I'm on Instagram at Dr. Kevin L. Jenkins. And so I put a video up there where I did actually the 50 burpees. Well, I only showed 10 on the video because, of course, Instagram, you only film 1 minute.
Right.
But I had a 20-pound weighted vest. So, because I wanted to put some extra stress on myself. You know what I mean?
How much of your time per day do you dedicate to working out?
I would say I try to fit like the first hour of the day, no more than 2 hours. Now, today, I'm not sure. I think it took me about an hour and a half or so to do those, go around that circle, mm-hmm. so to speak. And that's very rare. Like I said, I don't do that very rarely. I mean, I've done 1,000 push-ups before. David Goggins, who's a former CEO, he has an Instagram, Facebook group, and he does this thing where let's do 1,000 push-ups, which is like he does 17 reps of 20 sets and 16 reps of 10 sets, and that's 500, and then you just repeat. And he rests wow. like every minute or something like that, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So when I'm doing something like that, it takes a little bit. But normally an hour or something like that. Sometimes I get a run in, mm-hmm. you know. My thing is pull-ups. Like after I finish those burpees, I'll still have the weighted vest on and I'll do some pull-ups.
Okay.
I just purchased this thing called the Recon Prep, this book, the Recon Prep, which is dealing with the Marine Recon, Force Recon, and how they prep for their selection. Mm-hmm. And so I just use some of those exercises in there.
Okay.
You know, I'm starting to do that. So I mix it up, you know.
What's your real objective here? I mean, are you looking to achieve a certain level of fitness, meaning are you looking to see muscles in a certain way, or is there something else that you're using as your benchmark for success?
Excellent question. I think that whenever you do something, your why must be strong, because if your why is not strong enough, you won't get through the anyhow. So my why is always this, to be ready for anything at any time. That's one of my whys. You know what I mean? There's a saying, I think the Coast Guard uses it, a Latin saying, semper paratus, which means always ready. So I want to have myself in conditioning where if has to deal with something, I'm conditioned and ready for it. Also, one of my whys is to get stronger and stronger as I get older and older. When I was a kid, my grandmother was alive, she used to take us for walks. I think I was like 5 or 6 years old, maybe 7. And I saw this guy walking down the street, and he was just walking very slow. And I asked my grandmother, what's wrong with that guy? She laughed, and she said, well, that man is old. And I said to myself, in my little brain, right, I said, if I get this guy's age, I'm not going to be like that. Now, I didn't have a plan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I said to myself, when I get old, I'm not going to get like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I just turned, this July, I just turned 63.
Okay.
You know? I got, you know, I'm taking the train to church, you know, lately. And because the train station's right down the street from my church. I said, well, I'll take the train so I can read. But, you know, I found out on one of my trips, there's a senior discount. Right? I didn't know that. I'm paying the regular discount for the train. Mm-hmm. I'm paying the regular price. So I went and investigated, and the senior discount, I just made it. It starts from 62 on up.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I bought the ticket. I think this was the second time I bought the senior ticket. And the conductor, you know, they checked the tickets and everything. And one lady checked my ticket, and she said, can I see some ID?
I knew that's what you were going to say. You got carded.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're in the best shape of your life at 63?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Man, I am so grateful to the Lord that I've only been in the hospital one time, and that's as a kid. I had a navel hernia, so I had surgery one time. I have grandsons. yeah. like 12 and 11. Mm-hmm. And when I get to see them, we always have this race. We run. They live in Chicago, the Sabo Museum, you know, in that field across there.
Sure.
You get the chance to go there.
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
We always have a race. See who can beat one another. And now the only reason why they beat me last year is because all of a sudden my leg, I don't know, tightened up or something like that. But we always have fun doing that. So I'm in good shape. I like feeling strong. I love health because health is your wealth. And I'm also inspiring other folk where I'm actually helping somebody right now to help them to lose some weight. Mm-hmm. And folk always ask me, especially my circle of friends who are in the protective industry, they've always, one guy just asked me recently, he said, man, I want to go vegan. He said, my sugar's high, my blood pressure's high, you know, tell me what I need to do. So it's always inspiring. And it's always like when I tell folk how old I am, they're shocked.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. Kev, you and I have known each other a long time, and I have to say, I didn't really think about your age, but I didn't realize that you were 63. That's a showstopper, a mind blower for me. So that's props to you, man, for taking care of yourself to the extent you have. Before I run out of time, I want to go back to the question of veganism as it relates to the ethics of it. You talked about being an ethical vegan as opposed to being a dietary vegan. How did you arrive at that point of being an ethical vegan? How does that impact your life on a daily basis?
Great questions, Doc. Yeah, I'm a certified vegan life coach and educator. I got to give a shout out to Victoria Moran. She runs the Main Street Vegan Academy here in Harlem. And as soon as I became a vegan, I took this course from her about that. And that's where I found out where veganism was more than just a diet. It was a lifestyle. She had this guy, she had different lecturers coming in, John Joseph, who was a guy who's a vegan triathlete, and this guy named Joshua Ketcher, a guy who is a vegan fashion designer. He began to talk about how animals are used in the fashion industry and how they're brutally slaughtered and things like that. And it was just like what it called an aha moment for me, where I said, you know what? So I'm going to find out how I can deal with this. And it's very easy right now because I have shoes. You couldn't tell the difference. I'm not sponsoring this group called Will's Vegan Shoes. I mean, their fashion is just off the chain. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know the difference. The shoes are on point. So that's what I learned going through Main Street Vegan Academy. And then I also took a course from T. Cullen Campbell. He's the author of the China Study, where he first did a groundbreaking study in the 50s about making the connection between diet and chronic diseases in China. And he has a school from Cornell University online. So I have also a certificate in plant-based nutrition. Mm-hmm. So they talk about how meat eating has impact your health, but the environment. This is why we got the global warming, because the gas emissions from the animals, it's like it's kind of destroying the environment. So that's how I made the connection from taking those two courses.
So, you know, there's a lot here and there's a lot more that we could talk about, but I'm out of time. So what I want to do is I want people who are curious about you, this pastor, self-defense specialist, executive and celebrity protection professional, who's also a vegan, dietary and ethical. I want them to be able to, if they're curious about you, to learn more about you. How can people learn more about you and connect with you?
I appreciate that, Dave. I'm on Instagram. I have two accounts on Instagram. My main account is Dr. Kevin, K-E-V-I-N-L, as in Leslie, L, Jenkins, J-E-N-K-I-N-S. So it's Dr. Kevin L. Jenkins. And I run a podcast called The Cool Vegan Podcast. So if you click in the link on the bio on my Instagram, you can listen to all those interviews which you are on.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and then I have a photography Instagram account called Afro Hippie Photos. Afro Hippie Photos. But then you can also find me on Twitter. Oh, by the way, my Instagram, Dr. Kevin L. Jenkins, and Twitter, the same label there. So So you can find me on Twitter. And then you can find me on Instagram as Kevin Jenkins. Now, there's so many Kevin Jenkins on there. So if you look me up on Facebook, I'm the guy with the cap turned backwards, and the Brooklyn Bridge is on the backdrop. I'm the Kevin Jenkins there.
Well, Kev, I really appreciate you joining us today. Again, I think just the way you are approaching your life and your ministry and your life outside of your ministry is just fascinating. And I really thank you for joining us today. This has been a great conversation.
Dave, thanks for inviting me. It's been nice, man. Great, great questions. Great interview.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it, man. Thank you
sir.
Man. Dr. Kevin Jenkins, who describes himself as the vegan born, a vegan Jason Bourne, think about that, has joined us today for the Healthy Alabama podcast. Fascinating conversation with my longtime friend, Kevin Jenkins. All right, that wraps it up for today for this episode of the Healthy Alabama podcast, sponsored by Enroll Alabama and produced in partnership with WJOU, Praise 90.1 FM, Oakwood University Radio. Our theme music was produced by my man, DJ Bailey. He knows how to get in the studio and cut it up. And that's what he did for us with this theme song. I'm David Person, host and producer of the podcast. Until next time, be healthy.